it too, so he didn't. It didn't end up costing me $300 to get off the
scene. Yeah, I'm just dreading the moment when you gave these tech. Because every year it's going to get worse. Even when we win, when we lose, it will be worse because of the stream.
Well, I'll tell you, they actually said this in the regress the other day. This is
what I do for payments. The first attorney,
you know, when this year,
I don't work this out. I think it'd just be a matter of
the see how you
judge it.
Let's see.
You know, percentage say.
Just don't feel like they can afford paying another guy to come in.
Well, I think it's on his contract.
I think it's got one more year of contract.
Well, they may not fire him.
Yeah.
But where's he from?
Yeah.
And Anderson's got some.
Northern Virginia and Richmond.
Because, you know, he's not like tires.
He probably didn't do it.
I was a college coach, and particularly football. With any college sport, it's not your team for 4 years.
Yes.
Because your first 3 years, you're playing with my players. I'm cool. Yes. But after 4 years, my guys are all gone. Now they're your players.
Al Groves' guys are long gone now.
No, they are.
Yeah.
This is the year when we more Al Groves players.
First couple of years, Al Groves. No, we not really. We're just gonna
talk about the cell towers.
Yeah, I guess that's over. I guess coming from what the paper says.
Now, you know, one of the problems with football is, now I'm sure this is true of basketball, but I know
people.
Most of the positions, particularly the skill positions, most especially the quarterback positions, are not secondary.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a great college quarterback and put your expectations
in.
And I'll tell you what, the guy that I think that you see that this year is Griffin. I think Griffin, he's now that it's obvious that he can't do this. He obviously can't do that anymore. And now that he can't do that anymore, he's a very good quarterback.
Don coming tonight?
Michael Vick was smarter.
I thought it was Don coming.
Michael Vick.
Now 7 o'clock. The Fluvanna County Planning Commission regular meeting for August 27, 2014 is now in session. First order of business is the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Next thing on our agenda is our director's report.
Thank you, Mr. Biff. We have two cases to report on that were heard by the Board of Supervisors on August 6th. The board approved SUP 1402 Hotel Street Capital request for a special use permit for major utilities. And also they approved the master plan amendment for Hotel Street Capital, also known as Poplar Ridge, at their August 6th meeting. We have one site development plan for Northland Forest Products, and that will be coming to the Planning Commission next month for a Planning Commission review. And that's all I have this month.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions? Okay. Next order of business is our first public comment section tonight. They're limited to 3 minutes each. Anyone wishing to make a public comment, please come forward, state your name and address. Seeing no one wishing to come forward for public comment, we will end our public comment section at this time. Next on the agenda is approval of minutes. Anyone have a motion about the minutes?
I move to accept the minutes as submitted.
Second.
We have a motion by Mrs. Eager, a second, and all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The chair votes aye, 5-0. There are no site plans tonight, and next item on the agenda is public hearings. First order tonight is ZMP 1402 Lafayette School and SUP 1408 Lafayette School.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. This is a rezoning request coupled with a special use permit request. It's ZMP 1402 and SUP 1408. It is a request for a rezoning of a 1.148-acre parcel, Tax Map 5, Section 24, Parcel 7, in the Zion Station Industrial Park, and they're requesting to rezone that parcel from I-1 to B-1. The original rezoning was approved back in August of 1985, and this is a location overview for the commission. The Industrial Park is this triangular-shaped parcel here, fronting on the north side of Route 250, and the subject parcel is here. This is an aerial image, again, showing the lots in the subdivision. I believe there are currently three buildings in the division. This is a sketch plan. It's a one-story, 45 by 100 brick building, 4,500 square feet, and the applicants are proposing to use the existing building for an educational facility. Analysis and comprehensive plan. Again, it's a request for a rezoning. The objective is an educational facility, special needs educational facility that is not allowed either by right or by special use permit in the I-1 district. Therefore, the necessity to rezone and the SUP for the educational facility is, the building is in conformance with the required building setbacks. It is in the Zion Crossroads planning area, which supports large, medium, small commercial businesses along with office, civic, and multifamily residential use, combined to form a series of near traditional development or series of interconnected developments. This is an industrial subdivision. However, two of the buildings are brick, and it may give an appearance more of an office park than an industrial park. In conclusion, the rezoning request appears to meet the intent of the comprehensive plan that it may support the development of locally owned businesses, entrepreneurial opportunities, particularly those that are of rural character or require little provision of infrastructure. This site was formerly occupied by SNN Communications. Planning Commission should consider how this request does or doesn't align with the goals and objectives of the comprehensive plan. And a few photographs for the commission. This is the front entrance of the building. Again, 4,500 square feet, side view. There is asphalt parking and gravel parking. Suggested motions for the commission. I'd be happy to answer any questions. By the way, this is the Lafayette School. They're currently operating in Charlottesville, and the Barrett Stump is here tonight to answer questions if you have any questions.
Anyone have any questions? Would the applicant like to say anything at this time?
I
I'm Barrett Stump. I'm one of the directors of Lafayette School. The other director is Chuck Stump, my husband. We've been Fluvanna County residents for almost 21 years now. And Lafayette School is a small private day school that serves students with special needs. And we currently serve 6 Fluvanna students, but we also serve Charlottesville City and the surrounding schools. So it's a great location. We would love to bring our business and our nonprofit here to the county. Thank you.
Anybody have any questions from the applicant?
Currently, what are the hours that the school will be running?
Students arrive from 8:30 to 2:30. Staff has an usual 8 to 4 day, but teachers tend to stay a little later.
So, Steve didn't, I don't, if you had, did you have the conditions in our report up there?
The conditions are in your staff report.
Right, I see them.
I don't think they're in the PowerPoint.
Okay, I didn't think so. So my only question is, the applicant know about those conditions and comfortable with all those conditions? Because they're a little bit more stringent than a similar situation we approved not that long ago. So do you know about the conditions that have been recommended?
Yes. So we communicated via telephone mm-hmm. about the hours of operation. I wanted to make sure I had that accurate
okay.
mm-hmm. before we put it in the report.
And the enrollment of 24 students?
That would be max.
Well, that's good for you. So you're comfortable with them. Okay.
Mm-hmm. We also are a 220-day program. We're year-round, but we take breaks a week in June, a week in July, and 2 weeks in August, and then the regular breaks that the public schools are out for the holidays.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This time I'll open the public hearing. If anyone from the public that would like to make any comments, please come forward, state your name and your address, please.
I'm Janet Baylow. My address, my business address, is 95 Zion Station Court, Troy, Virginia, 22974. And I just have a couple of questions about, because my building is behind this building, and I just have a little bit of a concern for the safety of your people who come and go, just that traffic along 250 goes really fast, and turning in and out of that development can be a little bit scary, so I didn't know if there was anyone addressing that issue.
VDOT actually said the site distance was fine, and they checked that entrance and said it's okay.
Okay. The other, and so I was wondering if any of the students drive, or they don't drive. Okay. And the other question I had is that I noticed on your website you had indicated that your location now, you use the library and some other facilities within Albemarle County, and this location doesn't really offer any of that. Is that an issue, or what's...
It's not an issue. The Fluvanna County Library is just a place, and we utilize that. We will continue our equine therapy program. We have 2 buses that we transport the students on. I don't see it really having an impact on our programming at all.
Great. And then how many vehicles would you have parked there on a normal day?
We have 10 employee cars tops. There may be parents coming in throughout the day for different therapy, or like a speech or language therapist coming in to serve a student, but they wouldn't be parked there all day. It would be for a 45-minute period.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know. I just wanted to get some clarification on that. I think it sounds great.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public wanted to make any comments? Please come forward at this time. If not, time for our discussion.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask the staff a question?
Yes, you can.
In the staff report, and I think I heard the applicant say that the staff is typically there till 4:30, but the condition is 8 to 4. I was wondering if that was a typo.
Let's see.
Condition number 6.
I believe it's to 2 p.m. for the students, correct?
It's 8:30 to 2:30 for the students.
2:30 for the students.
Staff are typically there from 8 to 3:30. There's one day a week we stay till 4 because we staff with our child psychiatrist.
So 8:30 to 4 is reflective of what you want?
8 to 4 is pretty reflective, yes.
I'm sorry, 8 to 4.
8
okay.
to 4.
That's fine. I just want to make sure, just clarify that, that disparity in the staff report.
In the VDOT report, it uses the 2:30 and 4:30 numbers.
I want to make sure that there wasn't an error there that would be inconsistent with what they discussed with the staff.
What is the staff's concern about later hours?
I'm sorry?
What is the staff's concern about later hours, if any?
I don't believe we have any concerns about the current proposed hours of operation.
But would you have concerns if it was to 6 or 7 o'clock?
I don't have any basis to evaluate that because I would need to know what those hours would be used for, and it would have impact on traffic and so forth.
Yes, we do have someone coming to clean. That for hours.
Okay.
It would be one car, and I can't imagine it would be more than 2 to 3 cars. It's teachers staying after work to plan.
Okay. Right on 250. I mean, it's not that sizable of a building. Couldn't create that much traffic, I wouldn't think.
No, I don't believe so. Your students aren't driving in, so, right.
Thanks.
Do you have any more questions for staff, Mr. Payne?
No, sir.
Thank you. Now it's time for our discussion. And I know during and it's in the staff report too, that the fire department did have one concern and they would like for you to have an evacuation plan. Let me go a little further I'll let you speak to that and so forth. And I think I did some research about what the concern was. Then I think Ms. Eager made some phone calls. And you might tell them what you found out about because there was concern because there's a propane refill facility several hundred yards away and so forth like that.
Yes, I spoke with Mr. Finch from Tiger Fuel, and he assured me that they take all safety precautions in all of their facilities. And there is an 18,000 gallon propane tank right on Carlton Avenue in Charlottesville, and there's workforce right behind that. They share the parking lot. And he said that, quote, they have no problem whatsoever and no issues at all. And with the Lafayette School locating at Zion Station, their facility is locked continually. The only people who have keys would be the drivers who come in and fill and then relock. So that was the concern from the fire department. And, you know, I think that if you're satisfied that it's safe for your students and Tigers thinks it's a good idea, that alleviates that concern. The only other thing I was thinking is, because of the timing, could we possibly change 6 to 8 to 5? Because then there will be no, you know, you don't have to worry if somebody's 20 minutes late or something getting in or out. I just think that would be make a little more sense, if that's okay with you, Mr. Payne, or anybody else. So.
I think that would eliminate possible technical violations.
Right.
Although one thing I would say is that I'm guessing that the school would be well advised to use the earlier hours because you're close enough to Zion Crossroads that by 5 o'clock you're probably starting to pick up traffic pretty right. significantly.
Okay, do you...
I was going to say I agree. I think the hours should be more liberal.
Okay.
Just if it carries on to another school or something along those lines. So.
Would you like to address the issue that we were talking about the evacuation plan?
Yes. I just wanted to let you know that since the planning review meeting, we listened to what the fire chief had to say, and we have coordinated with Beaver Dam Baptist Church, which is 3 miles down the road on 250 to the west, to be able to use their parking lot to go to sort of as a staging area in the case of an evacuation. One of our exits to the building is also on the furthest side away from the propane tanks, just like we do tornado drills and fire drills and earthquake drills. We will also be conducting this drill where we actually load the students on the bus, drive to the church, practice loading, unloading, whatever our crisis piece is when we get to the church with the students.
Also, in talking to you before, I think I figured out that the student, most of your students will be on the road less with this new location because of a lot of them from Fluvanna and some from Orange.
Hanover.
Okay.
Hanover, yes,
they
sir.
They were all having to go to Charlottesville.
Right.
Thank you. Any more discussion? If not, do I have a motion?
I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of the attached ordinance for ZMP 1402, a request to amend the Fluvanna County zoning map with respect to 1.148 acres of Tax Map 5, Section 24, Parcel 7, to rezone the same from I-1 Industrial Limited to B-1 Business General. And I also move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of SUP 1408, a request to allow for an educational facility with respect to 1.148 acres of Tax Map 5, Section 24, and Parcel 7, subject to the 8 conditions listed in the staff report.
Change the time.
With the change in the hours?
Oh, yeah.
To 8-5.
That would be item 6 of the recommended conditions shall be from 8 to 5 p.m., 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Monday through Friday.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Mr. Gaines, second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next items on the agenda are to do with cell towers. The first one is SUP 1405, and I don't know how you're going to do a presentation about all of them at one time or each one of them separately.
I prefer to do a separate presentation since they're separate locations, but
okay.
Chairman, members of the commission, this is the first of our three new cell tower proposals tonight. It's SUP 1405. It's a new non-concealed telecommunications facility, therefore requires a special use permit in the agricultural zoning district. It is a request to allow special use permit for a 199-foot wireless telecommunication tower. It's tax map 59A65A. And this parcel is 18.3 acres, located a half mile southwest of West Bottom Road, Route 655, and the south side of Bruno Road, Route 601. It's in the Fork Union voting district. It is zoned agricultural in the rural preservation planning area, and the existing use is mostly wooded areas, some open expanses, and a single-family dwelling. This is an aerial photograph. You'll notice the red arrow on the subject properties on the south side of Bremer Road. A couple of photographs for the commission. They're pretty faint. The red dot's pretty faint, but it does represent the balloon. On August 16th, there was a balloon test, and staff attended. The applicant is required to provide data with regard to weather conditions, and they did do that. It's here. It was a clear, dry, sunny day. Balloon has to fly for 4 consecutive hours, and they also completed that obligation. A few slides the applicant provided. This is their tower visibility map. It does show the location of the tower, and the red dots indicate where the tower is visible. Again, this is their couple of their photo simulations. It shows the balloon. In the next slide, we show an illustration of what the tower may look like if constructed. This is the applicant's sketch plan. You'll notice Bremer Road is here with a red dot, 20-foot access easement back to serve the site. It is a 100 by 100 lease area, which is fairly standard for a telecommunications site location. Analysis we use for SUPs. Proposed use should not tend to change the character and established pattern of this community. Upon staff's attendance on the balloon test, tower would not be easily visible from Bremer Road. It does appear it would be visible from 2217 Bremer Road. This is directly across the road. Of course, you have to also keep in mind this is the time of the year where we have full canopy. So there may be some visual changes in the wintertime. Proposed site is approximately half a mile away from an existing tower located on Dominion property. However, in this case, Dominion has stated they won't allow co-locations for their own security reasons. This particular site is not designated as an emergency service location within our current wireless telecommunications facilities master plan. Proposed use should be compatible with uses permitted by right, and the zoning district should not adversely affect the use or value of neighboring property. There's a lot of vegetation on the site. The site development plan will be required if the SUP is approved. The wireless ordinance does require that dwellings be located at least 500 feet away from a new facility, and the nearest dwelling is approximately 1,000 feet from this application. Comprehensive plan includes recommendations regarding the siting of telecom facilities, minimizing impacts of wireless communication facilities on surrounding areas, encourage location and co-location of wireless communication equipment on existing structures. That's where you see a monopole or cell phone tower and antenna arrays are added onto the tower. Accommodate the growing need and demand for wireless communication services and encourage coordination between communication providers. We did forward all three of these applications to Cityscape consultants. Cityscape provided a report that's in your packet, and Cityscape stated that the proposed tower is in conformance with the with our telecommunication facilities master plan and is necessary to fill coverage gaps in the area. They did recommend 6 conditions, and they are coupled with staff's conditions. Conclusion, the request does appear to be in conformance with the intent of the comprehensive plan and the wireless facilities master plan. Proposed tower may not be easily visible from adjacent properties or from Bremer Road. The proposed site has extensive vegetation to serve as screening and will require site development plan if the SUP is approved. If approved, staff recommends 19 conditions as provided in your staff report, and they do address the tower's design and construction. I have provided the conditions for the commission here on the screen. I'm not going to read every one of those. We can address those if uh, if if the commission would like to address one or all of the conditions.
Could we talk about 11?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because of the fact that we are working at telecommunications in the county, and I think that item is a very important item because we're being required by the government to do certain things and so forth like that. And we're working with telecommunications companies as far as setting up our system. So I want to make sure that the applicant knows about 11 and the fact that they're in agreement that if we need that to use that site, that we are able to use that site. Does anyone have any questions? Mr. Tugwell? Would the applicant like to speak at this time?
Steve covered. Good evening. My name is Dale Finok, and I'm here representing 5280 LLC, 5280 Partners LLC, which is the applicant on behalf of our tenant, T-Mobile. I've been working with the county and the folks out in these neighborhoods, the landowners and such, for about a year now, working towards getting these facilities ready for public hearing. This project is a little bit different from other towers that you may have seen come before you in the past. And Steve thoroughly went through the application, and I'll talk about a couple of the conditions that I need some clarifications on. But other than that, I'm going to do just a general presentation that's really going to apply to all three of them, and then I won't need to speak again. Where this one is different, these projects started from the FCC back in 2012 doing an inventory of areas in the United States that they deemed to be underserved. And they did this by census tract, and what they indicated is that within these areas, and it's indicated in black here, these are the areas that are underserved with wireless for phone service as well as broadband. And as a means to facilitate the increase of broadband services in these rural areas, they started this FCC Mobility Fund. And what it was an incentive-based auction to encourage carriers that currently are licensed in those areas to build in rural areas that they were not building. It's the way the original licenses worked. FCC put them out to auction. You bid on a license in an area. This area would be included in the Richmond Metro licensees areas, and then they needed to provide service to a percentage of population. And by the time that population, if they reached that percentage, then after that, where they decided to put towers or hang their antennas to provide coverage was all based on market needs and desires. What this project did was it identified areas, one of them in Fluvanna County, the census tract here, as being underserved. And they put it up for auction, an incentive-based auction. T-Mobile won that auction. And within that area, there's 176.63 road miles that the winner of the auction was required to cover and provide 3G and 4G quality services within a 2- and 3-year time frame. And the federal investment in this area for this project is in and around $2 million. So it's a little bit different from other projects where they tend to go where a carrier wants to expand this coverage. This is based on where the FCC feels coverage needs to be expanded, and they gave an incentive to the carriers to expand that coverage where they normally wouldn't. Not too dissimilar to maybe about 100 years ago when the government stepped in and encouraged power companies to bring electricity to rural areas that did not have electricity. This slide here shows the outline of the census tract and what the three sites inside the census tract and how they would provide coverage to the census tract and meet those mandates by the FCC for the project. The three sites are here located in Fluvanna County. You see the center of area for search and then the rings around it and where we looked for locations. This slide is showing you the current coverage that T-Mobile has in Fluvanna County. As you well know, as much as the problem in Fluvanna and much of southern Goochland as well, the coverage is all along the interstate and 250. With this project, this is what the coverage will look like. So we're going to go from that to this. This shows the individual coverage for each site. Let me get to the one that we're talking about. This is the Bayer site that we're talking about right now. That's the site plan, shows you where the tower will be located on the property. The road is to the north there, well off the property. It's pretty deep off the road. As he mentioned, that was the drive map. The little blue lines are where I was driving around, and the red dots are where I was able to see the tower. I pulled out the pictures that I took of places where the tower wasn't visible. That's the site directly across from the house where there is some visibility. That's without any zoom on the camera. And there's the tower juxtaposed there. And this is the line of sight from that location. Just to zoom up, that's where I stood. You can see the red dot. The camera has a GPS locator on it, so you can see right where the picture was taken. And then that's the line of sight back to the tower, and you can see it there. And it's about 0.2. This was about 0.2 miles, I think it was, about 1,500 feet. That's another site further down the road getting closer to the power station, and the balloon in there, the tower superimposed. This site is really interesting. This is the one that the slide that Steve showed. You can see the balloon there barely visible at all. I look back, you can see the tower in this photograph that's on the power company. So those dishes are probably about 10 feet in diameter that you see, they're the white ones. And then the tower is probably larger than it really would be. It was really hard to put it into this picture because it's so far. But this photograph is 2 miles from the site. So these are right next to the site, and this one is 2 miles away. So that's the basis of the project in general, why we're here with three sites all together at once, what we're trying to do, and it's to cover this census tract that the FCC has identified as being underserved. And these three facilities are going to help T-Mobile do that. In reviewing the conditions, and I didn't have a chance to talk to Steve about a couple of them. Many of them have been resolved already. In this particular case, number two, the breakpoint technology, I believe that's been satisfied. We've issued another letter to the consultant and to the county, so that issue's been resolved. Just a matter of record and through conversations with the consultant and the county, and I'll just clarify here as a matter of record with number three, in the site plan, what we submitted to the county was a full set of construction drawings, and that included the grounding diagram. And the grounding diagram that we submitted was a typical diagram of how the grounding system is to be installed. And it caused some confusion because it showed a compound with the tower right in the middle, and it showed how they were supposed to do the grounding. And that was just really to be instructive to the contractors of how to install the grounding system. And it didn't look like the compound that we're proposing because our tower is in the corner of it. So I talked to the consultant and he said we just needed to revise it and say on that grounding diagram, you know, when we submit for building permit, if we get approved, that it's a typical diagram. So that's why the two compounds didn't look the same. As far as number four is concerned, this tower will not have a lightning rod on it. We feel that lightning rods are redundant. The tower is steel, and it's grounded, and it's hooked up to the grounding system, so if it is struck by lightning, the tower is grounded. It acts as a lightning rod itself, and it absorbs it. To add the four-foot little lightning rod on the top is really kind of irrelevant. Chances are the lightning is going to strike the tower itself because it's going to attract it more than the four-foot piece of metal that's been attached to it. So, and I think the concern there is that it would breach that 199 limit for the FAA, and the code suggests that towers are kept under 200 feet unless further need is explained that allows it to go higher. So we're not going to go above that 199. It's going to stay beneath that magic number. Number 10, I think, has me the most concerned, and it is redundant in all three of them. And I just need it clarified. It says the applicant shall expand the ground compound to accommodate up to six different wireless service providers, ground-mounted electrical equipment. What we've proposed in the site plan, we've leased a 100 by 100 foot area, which is plenty large to accommodate any carriers that come along now or in the future. What we're proposing and in the site plan is to build the compound. I would have to pull it up, but I don't have it. I want to say that it's 30 by 30, maybe it's probably 40 by 40. And it shows a location, and this is from memory, for maybe two to three carriers within the compound. So with this, are we asking that the compound be built initially to accommodate six carriers from the get-go? Because the typical standard for the industry is you build it for what is going to go in it now, and then there's the ability to expand those compounds later as new equipment and stuff is needed. I wouldn't see a need to create this giant unused graveled compound that's fenced in hopes that six carriers would come, especially in a marketplace where companies keep combining themselves down and eating each other. And right now, as far as
I was doing it from memory, but I think currently what we're dealing with in this market, you've got AT&T and Telus, which is a Sprint affiliate, and Verizon and T-Mobile. Does Cell One come in this area? I'm not sure if they reach this far east. I don't believe that they do, but they could. But I could not come up with six carriers in my head that we would use. Now, of course, the county facility, the county's equipment would go there. There could be other broadband service providers. The tower will certainly accommodate it, and we certainly have space to accommodate anybody that would want to come within, you know, with leasing a 100 by 100 foot area. But I'm a little concerned about that condition because it kind of reads to say that you want us to build a giant compound for six carriers right now.
I think the condition speaks to the compound being designed to allow for up to six carriers.
If it comes down to you're wanting to approve it, I have some language that I think would accommodate that.
What did you say? You have language for it?
Yeah, I okay. would if you want to. I mean, I'll give it to you if you want to hear it. But. Mm-hmm. I understand what the applicant's saying, but I think it's a sensible concern. I don't see any problem addressing it.
It seems to me 30 by 40 or 30 by 30 building could accommodate several racks, probably a lot more than six.
It'll be a fenced area. I'd have to look at the site plan and see what it is, but I'm assuming with Monopole, we're probably proposing maybe 40 by 40 as a fenced compound. Each carrier, the max a carrier would use, if they bring in a shelter, the shelters are typically about little 12-foot long equipment shelters. Many carriers have now gone to just using what they call outside equipment, and they pour like a 4x4 pad. And they lease an area within it, and they like to have an ability to expand too. So I just want to clarify that we certainly have plenty of space within our lease area, which is shown on the plan, but we wouldn't want to have to develop a giant compound for everybody right now. It generates erosion and soil control issues and all kinds of other things that
I don't think that's staff's intent.
Okay. No. All right. And again, that was just a matter of clarification when reading it. And to address your question, Mr. Bibb, about the issue of the EMS services, the county facility services. We've been in contact with, it goes back to, and I believe it, the project may be out to bid again. I know there were some issues going on there, but way back when, the former sheriff I had spoke to in person about the facilities, and he showed an interest in two of them, not this one in particular, but in the other two that we're going to talk about. And we certainly are willing to accommodate anything that the county, you know, needs. 5280 is a tower owner, you know, so to speak, vertical real estate, and you know, we welcome anybody that needs to go on the tower. We don't have an issue with that condition as it's written in this application or any of the other two. And I'm certainly aware of the county's desire, not just a desire to want to keep it reserved, but the desire for the immediate need on not this facility, but the next two that we're going to talk about. And that is actually probably, I believe the last I heard, it was they were hoping it would happen quicker than not. And we're aware of that. We were even in contact with the folks at Motorola trying to get the county's equipment and information so we can even incorporate it into these plans. That just didn't happen for these public hearings. So we're certainly well aware of it and looking forward to working with the county to help them solve their problems.
Mr. Pinocchio, I just have one question for the benefit of the commission. I know you visit localities all across the country seeking these approvals. What would you say is fairly typical that you all are asked to do in regards to EMS services?
Certainly in the state of Virginia, it has in my history, and I worked for Suncom for, there's an old name, for probably about 10 years, and I remember in Fluvanna County when we met over in the other meeting room before this building was even erected. But it's very typical in the state of Virginia for this condition to be a condition of approval. In some other states, it's not. Some codes, it's very typical in Virginia codes to have this in there where it requires that a space be provided if it's needed in the future. And often that requirement in the code is built into a condition in this exact manner, saying that the county has a first right of refusal if anybody comes along, because that preserves the spot. You know, so if there's a mad rush to go on this tower, you know, it preserves the spot. And with knowing the county's need on two of these sites, I mean, I'm certainly willing to work with them as quickly as they're able to ensure that they get what they need. Often with what the county installs, reserving a spot isn't as important as it sounds, because they're operating at such a different frequency as the other carriers. Often they can co-mingle their antennas within the lease areas. You need to get the approval. You know, we are leasing a certain space on the tower to a carrier, but usually a carrier would not care also if the county's 20-foot whip antenna, you know, encroaches into their lease area, because it's not going to cause them interference, nor is it going to be a major issue as far as space or anything, because a typical installation for an EMS facility is maybe that big around, and it's a whip antenna. Sometimes they're really long, but they don't take up a lot of, you know, horizontal space. So certainly looking forward to working with the county and don't have a problem with that. And to answer the question directly, in Virginia, very typical, and it varies from state to state. You see it some places and some places you don't.
I noticed that you have 100 by 100 foot lease space, but you have a 40 by 50 fence space.
There you go.
Which even in the 100 by 100 thing, sometimes we require landscaping around it and so forth like that. Would that be within that 100 by 100?
That's a great question, and it can be in both. So just as I mentioned previously, we were going to do 40 by 50, so that can accommodate a lot. We have the leftover space for expansion. And as far as landscaping, if landscaping is needed, many of these, this one and some other ones, are very heavily wooded, and what we put in there or what makes sense, you know, we'll deal with that in site plan review. But the land in our lease, there is a provision in the lease as well with all of these landowners that if there's a condition or a need for landscaping, that they need to provide that easement area beyond our lease parcel to meet that need. So we've got it kind of a redundant situation where we can landscape immediately around the compound, but in the future, if we ended up expanding, although I've been in the industry for nearly 20 years, and I don't think I've ever seen a 100-by-100-foot compound. It's a standard in the industry to lease that much space, but it's very standard in the industry to never use that much space. So I think we can accommodate the landscaping around the compound that we're building, and if we needed to expand in the future, that landscaping can expand out, and even if it goes beyond our lease area, there's a provision in our lease with the landowner that allows us to accommodate landscaping beyond the area that we've leased by easement.
One other question I had in that 100-by-100 lease space, it looks like the tower is somewhat more to one side than centrally located.
Correct.
Is there a reason for that? Just strange that it's you got 100-by-100, but the tower itself is located.
The reason for that, the reason we design it in that manner is it allows us to expand in outward in two different directions. So if you take the square and then what we're going to fence in is here, it allows us to expand in that direction and that direction if needed. But in the initial bit of construction, it minimizes land disturbance, construction, and impact, really, you know, on everything around it. The road comes right into it, and you're just going to that corner. So instead of going into the middle and going out in all four corners to the other road, we go to the side, and then it allows us to expand out in those directions. So it kind of minimizes construction cost, minimizes impact, and land disturbance.
Yeah, the reason I was asking, because it looks like the road comes in, and then the tower's back further than, instead of closer to where the road comes.
I have a question for you. Number 11, where the county can co-locate, do you charge the county or do they get to do that for free?
That is a good question. It depends on what we end up negotiating with the county. And that heavily depends on the amount of equipment. Often there's very minimal equipment involved. You know, but I think in a fairness of commerce, you know, if the county came in and wanted to install and use up a lot of space on the tower, and a lot of capacity, so to speak. And the capacity is involved not so much the space, but the weight of the equipment that goes on it. And typically, what the county is installing, if it's going to be one, you know, whip antenna, two whip antennas, and coaxial lines that go down, and they typically have a very small box, it's very minimal. If there was a charge, it wouldn't be significant. Because the way tower companies like 5280 typically charges by rad center, but also by the number of antennas, the number of lines, because it's all about the capacity that's eaten up. So it just depends on how the county approaches it with us. And I mean, we're certainly not looking to gain huge revenues from Fluvanna County. So we certainly would be looking forward to accommodating them the best we can in the most affordable means for everybody, you know, without taking a huge loss of space on the tower, but not, you know, fleecing the county by any means.
Is there a way to define that?
Right here and now?
Well, I mean, can you define it as, you know, more than 10% of the lease space or something along those lines? Because the Planning Commission will, you know, put in conditions now that might go to the board, and the board could put in the conditions themselves, but if we define it now, that's easier for the board.
Sure, Brian, I think the point here is I wouldn't be comfortable with the county saying you have to give us whatever you need and you can't charge us for it and whatnot. We do pay normally for facilities provided by private sectors. And I think that's a matter of negotiation. Now, making it available, I think, is something that's appropriate to condition the special use permit, which is what this condition contemplates. The specifics of what the charge would be or anything, I think, is more appropriate for a matter of...
No, and that's fine. I'm just questioning when that gets negotiated in the process, right? So,
well, I think part of the problem with it is that as you could see, the wireless plan doesn't contemplate using this site. But I could conceive that it might, because circumstances might change. So I think it's very difficult, really, to be very specific about this. I think I would assume that the co-locator, that this owner would be reasonable with respect to the negotiation. If they're not, then that's a different story. But it's not going to be helpful for the owner, really, because these are emergency facilities, and the owner benefits from having emergency facilities available. So I would be surprised if we wouldn't be able to negotiate something.
I was just going to say, and as a matter of record, I mean, to that, I mean, one of these properties we're actually purchasing. So, you know, 5280 LLC Partners will be a landowner here in Fluviana County. We want to be good neighbors. We will definitely work with the county. Again, we attempted to get the equipment details from the county so we would know. Because when I went to my boss and said, hey, you know, the county actually is interested in two of these sites right now, you know, what kind of deal can we give them? And his response back was, well, what do they want to put on the tower? Sure. And we attempted to get that information, and we just don't have that yet. So, I mean, I can assure you that as long as I'm around, and I've been around a while, and I hope to be around a while longer, but we never know, I will assure you that we will certainly negotiate a good deal for the county, and it is 5280 Partners' intention to be good neighbors and good new residents of Fluviana County as we move in.
And I would really take the premise of that idea, just to the extent of should that be a county policy, that, you know, in general we would ask cell tower providers by default to reserve some specific space for purposes of the county. And, you know, if that is something that's basically from the start what we do, does that sort of eliminate the optics of trying to do it at an SUP level?
I think that's what number 11 is that it provides that the county got a right of first refusal. Mm-hmm. So if we wanted to, if, for example, as he says, the county wanted to come in and locate one of these sites right away,
sure,
then we wouldn't have to worry about that. We'd negotiate the terms of the location. We just put it on there. So I think the fact that the condition requires them to give us an opportunity to locate it really addresses your concern.
Other than it doesn't address the question that Mrs. Eager had as to whether there's a cost or not a cost to it, right?
Well, I would anticipate there would be. I think you should expect it would be.
And then he had said that there might not be, so that's why I brought it up.
In that case, then your expectation is not as favorable as the reality.
We're looking out for the tax citizens, and free is a good price.
And we will be too. And again, it really comes down to how much space is, you know, it's no different than if the county wants to, you know, move into an office space, and how much office space are you taking up? Are you going to hang out at a table for a little bit, or are you going to, you know, take up a giant room?
Yeah.
And it's really hard to really commit to it. And I wouldn't want to, you know, throw out there one antenna, one line, that's all you get, because we don't know what you need, and we don't know what space you'll take up. I can assure you that we'll be as accommodating and reasonable as possible. But it is a business, and it is vertical real estate, and sure, you'll be taking up a lease space. So
you're not aware of any sort of common standards, whether, for example, counties get a, you know, 50% discount on space.
No, and I think as that was mentioned, that gets into kind of dangerous territories, especially making it conditions and stuff.
And I understand that.
Of an application.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot and get you to commit now. I'm just looking for a policy for the county in general.
But we'll give you the best deal we can, I promise.
Okay. I've got a question, if I could, Mr. Chairman. If I'm trying to understand what I can understand what the long-term benefits to the citizens of Fluviana are. How about the immediate benefits? So it's kind of a two-pronged question. T-Mobile has been mentioned, so I assume they're going to quickly put something up on this tower.
Yes.
T-Mobile equipment's up there. Do other carrier cell phones work better now?
No.
Okay.
Not until they locate on it.
Not until.
Or anyone that may be using T-Mobile as a roaming company. There are a lot of companies out there. Now, I couldn't really name of any that I know that necessarily use T-Mobile, but well-known ones like Virgin and that's the only one that's going to come to my head right now. But those companies don't have networks. They resell minutes.
Right.
So anybody that would be reselling minutes on behalf of T-Mobile, their phones would work. But things like AT&T, Verizon, and Telos, I don't believe Sprint's here because Intellis is a Sprint
subcontractor. Those would not immediately benefit, but this tower would certainly be available for them to locate. And I think the uniqueness of this project is that although this census tract was identified as being rural and underserved, there were only four in the state of Virginia, and you saw that what that map looked like. Most of it was out in the middle of nowhere out west, and I've got seven sites in the Inland Empire of Washington State where there's nothing but, you know, people that talk about their land in quarters and squares and halves, and they're talking about miles. And I've got a, you know, one in New Mexico, the guy owns 18 square miles is his ranch. So this is actually a very urban, rural area to get these, and I would anticipate these other carriers to come along quickly. And we would certainly hope so, because that's our business model. And I would say out of all of the sites that I'm working on for this particular project for T-Mobile, these are the ones that we feel probably have the most likely to have quick interest from other carriers because of, really, this is a suburban community. It's not, even as rural as that part of Fluvanna can be, you're so close to Charlottesville and Richmond that this is on the radar screen of all the carriers. It's not like Edwards County, Texas, where I have 12 sites.
Any other questions for the applicant?
And I promise not to speak this long for the other two, because I think we kind of covered everything.
Thank you. Would our consultant like to make any comments about anything we've discussed?
Good evening. My name is Susan Raybould with Cityscape Consultants. I recognize some of you from my previous trips up here. It's nice to see you again. I just want to compliment the applicant on a very well-given presentation. It isn't often that I come to a meeting where I don't have pages of notes of things that I would like to clarify after an applicant speaks, but I thought he gave a very, very good presentation. I think he has represented well their intention. I support all that he has indicated in terms of this presentation.
Thank you. At this time, we'll open the public hearing. Anyone from the public that would like to come forward to make any comments about this site, please come forward at this time. State your name and address. Seeing no one coming forward, we'll end the public hearing and go into discussion. Anybody have any other questions or comments or you know, I think that if we need more cell towers in Fluvanna and cell phones or phones in general, a lot of people are going away from their home phones and so forth, and a lot of these will be accommodating broadband too, so there's a whole lot of things going on in the industry, that industry right now. Do we have a motion? And in that motion, when we talk about the site thing, I think Mr. Payne might have some language for us about the...
If you're disposed to have a motion to approve it, I can give you some language for number 10.
Do I have a motion?
I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of SUP 1405, a special use permit request to allow the construction of a 199-foot monopole telecommunication tower with respect to 18.3 acres of Tax Map 59, Section A, Parcel 65A, subject to the 19 conditions listed in the staff report. Mr. Payne?
I'd suggest you delete number 10 and substitute for it the following language. If I can get my computer to work. My computer's thinking. I'd suggest you read number 10 to read, the ground compound shall be so designed as to allow for expansion sufficient to accommodate up to six different wireless service providers, ground-mounted electronic equipment.
Number 10 shall be changed to say the applicant shall be allowed to expand the ground compound to accommodate up to six?
No, I would word it in a mandatory fashion. The ground compound shall be so designed as to allow for expansion sufficient to accommodate up to six different wireless service providers' ground-mounted electronic equipment.
Can I change number 10 to the suggested phrasing of our attorney?
We have a motion. Mrs. Eager, with the change in number 10 suggested by Mr. Payne.
Yeah, just a quick question on that. Do we have to be concerned about the use of the word wireless versus wireless and broadband? Because they could be different, potentially.
I don't think so. I think wireless is, I understand the technical term, but I think broadband and wireless are, broadband is a species of wireless communications. And I think calling it wireless, I think, contemplates both.
And the ordinance has some stuff about the broadband and the wireless, but in okay. the actual...
As long as it's a more broad term, I guess.
It's more generic, yes. Yeah. I think it is.
We have a motion by Mrs. Eager. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Johnson seconds. So we have a motion by Mrs. Eager, a second by Mr. Johnson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? There's no one opposed. The chairman votes aye, 5-0. Okay, the next item is SUP 1406, 528 Partners, LLC.
So, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. This is the second of our three wireless applications this evening. It is SUP 1406, also known as the Morris site. And again, it's a request for a special use permit to allow a 199-foot wireless telecommunications tower. It's tax map 53, section A, parcel 56, and this parcel is 97.5 acres. The location is 1/2 mile southwest of East River Road, Route 6. It's on the west side of Brumo Road, 601, and is also in the Fork Union Election District, zoned agricultural and in the rural preservation planning area. Parcel is mostly wooded, and there's a few open expanses and a dwelling. This is aerial photography. It shows the parcel they identified with the red arrow, considerably larger than the previous parcel. And again, about 1/2 mile south of Route 6. A few staff photographs from the balloon test. This is looking northward along Brumo Road. You can barely see the balloon here, but it is at the very tip top of the tree line. Again, the applicant's balloon test data from the day of the test, and also his tower visibility map. It shows the places that were driven in order to observe the viewshed of the proposed site and the balloon. This is the applicant's tower simulation from Brumo Road. The prior photograph I showed you, and what the monopole would appear as if constructed. This is from dwelling you see over the right side of your screen is 812 Dale Hill Road, and staff did observe the proposed the tower would be visible from their yard, and sure enough, the applicant's photo simulation shows the top of the tower here, just above the roof line. The applicant's sketch plan, again, a 20-foot access easement to access the 100 by 100 leased area. Similar to the last application, with the exception of two places, those being there along Brumo Road and from 812 Gale Hill, tower would not appear easily visible from any of the surrounding roadways. Again, it may appear a little different in the winter months. Proposed site is more than two miles away from an existing tower location. I believe the nearest one is in Goochland County. And the proposed site is not designated as an emergency service location within our current wireless telecom master plan. Guideline number two here is the proposed use should be compatible with uses permitted by right in the district, shall not adversely affect the use or value of neighboring property. It's the same with the last site. It's a fairly rural area. There's a fair amount of vegetation, existing vegetation. And to address, I think, an earlier question, site development plan is required, which does require screening around ground equipment. Supplemental to the existing vegetation. The nearest dwelling in this application is 562 feet away, as indicated by the applicant's site plan. It does appear consistent with the comprehensive plan. It includes recommendations regarding siting of such telecom facilities. Goals and objectives are to minimize the impacts of wireless communication facilities on surrounding areas, encourage co-locations, and accommodate the growing need for wireless telecom. As with the first, Cityscape has stated that the proposed application is in conformance with our telecom master plan and to fill coverage gaps in the area. And they've recommended six conditions with this application that were included with the total conditions. Does appear in conformance with the master plan and the comprehensive plan. Proposed tower would not be easily visible from adjacent properties or roadways. Staff is recommending 18 conditions with this application if approved.
Just one clarification. You said there were six recommendations and I only saw five. So, in my package, I just wondered. 18 total. So, all of those, whether it be five or six, are incorporated in the 18, right?
Right. The consultant is recommending five conditions, and it should be a total of 18.
Anyone else have any questions for Mr. Togwell? Thank you. The applicant like to say anything about this site?
Good evening. Dale Finocchi again. My only point of clarification, I'm sure that it's not in the EMS master plan as indicated. However, this was one site that the former sheriff and I believe the representative from the fire department at the technical review committee indicated that there was a possible need to go on this site to help cover not both transmit and receive but one, and I couldn't tell you which one it was, and the area, because this site actually will help cover the Columbia area and provide coverage there. And there was an interest because of that. Whether it's going to make it into the new plan, I know all of that's gone out to bid and all, but verbal indications was that there was an indication that the county may be interested in this site. And as previously stated, very willing to work with the county on that. Other than that, the magic number here, and it's the same condition as previously discussed, is number 9. And if we could just reword that to the verbiage that the county attorney mentioned in the previous application. Other than that, I'll reserve my right to make comment later if needed. Thank you.
Just so you know, Mr. Chairman, the clerk asked me to send her an email about the wording of that, so she's got that, so we don't have to go through that gyration again.
Thank you. Did the consultant want to say anything at this time?
I did have a question for the consultant. I'm just trying to understand the language in the letter that you wrote on page one. Where you speak a little bit about technologies and individual channel frequencies being reused. It's at the bottom there.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just explain what you're trying to say there? Because I'm not sure I actually follow.
I would have to defer that to Rick, who is our RF engineer on staff.
Okay.
I can't really speak to that on his behalf. I'm sorry. It's an engineering term that he's referring to. Except that the channels are in the ground equipment. It's not relative to the antenna. And those channels are reused in each cell site. They triangulate. But that's as far as I can go with explaining the channels and the reuse of them.
Is he saying that it's undesirable to have two... You know, he says it's undesirable for wireless phones to communicate with more than a few base stations simultaneously. Is he saying that it's actually a benefit that we're bringing in more? I'm not. That's where I'm a little concerned about what his language is there. Just trying to understand it.
Okay, let me just reread this section.
Fourth line up from the bottom.
Fourth line up. Okay. Correct. They need to triangulate. And so you need to have more. Ideally, because what happens is, like, now this I can't answer. when you have an emergency situation and someone calls in, ideally you have three facilities that triangulate and pinpoint the location of the caller. And if you only have two, errors can result in an exact location is very difficult to find or pin down. You have a greater area that you have to search, whereas if you have three, triangulation is ideal. And so when he's saying it's undesirable to have fewer, that's what he's referring to. It is more desirable to have more so that you can triangulate better.
And so if Levada County maintains a hierarchy and all applicants shall confirm a proposed facility cannot effectively be located on county property. What's that supposed to
be? The ordinance is designed, you have to establish that there's no county property you can locate mm-hmm. this on before locating it on private property.
I see.
And there is not property within, I mean, the closest site, I believe, is 2 miles, and that's outside their search area. It wouldn't fit their needs.
Just trying to understand the language. Thank you.
Well, I will make that point to Mr. Edwards and work on that for the next time. Or I'll be happy to have him respond to staff to explain that in more detail.
Great, thanks.
Sorry.
This time we'll open the public hearing. Anyone in the public wishing to come to speak to this site, please come forward at this time and state your name and address, please. Seeing no one coming forward, we'll have our commission discussion at this time. Does anyone have any other questions or anything we need to discuss? And we know if we approve it, that number 9, I think it is, this one would be the language we used in the other one. Do I have a motion?
Okay.
We have a motion from Mr. Gaines.
I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of SUP 1406, a special use permit request to allow the construction of a 199-foot monopole telecommunications tower with respect to 97.5 acres of tax map 53, section A, parcel 56, subject to the 18 conditions listed in the staff report, along with the adjusted language for condition number 9. Will that work?
Yes.
We have a motion. Do I have a second?
Take that. Second.
Mr. Zimmer seconds the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Chair votes aye, 5-0. Next item is SUP 1407, 528 Partners, LLC.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a special use permit 1407. It is a request for a special use permit to allow a 199-foot wireless telecommunications tower. It applies to 16.1 acres on tax map parcel 22A90C. It is located 0.2 miles southwest of Dogwood Drive, which is Route 631, on the north side of Venable Road, which is Route 601, in the Columbia District. And it is zoned A1 in rural preservation. The surrounding use is nearly all wooded. Parcel 22A90C is indicated here with the red arrow. As you can see, it is a little bit off of Dogwood and off of Venable. Here is a photo from the applicant's balloon test. Again, it is indicated by the arrow right there. Here it is again, slightly less visible, but you can still see it just above the tree line. This is the applicant's balloon test data showing the conditions of the test and what went on that day. It's been made available to the commission. This is the visibility map for the tower and balloon test. As you can see, the location is here, and the visibilities were here on Dogwood, and then here on Venable, and right there. This is the applicant's balloon test. Another picture with the enlarged photo of the balloon. As you can see right there, not so well there, but it's the same picture. And then here's the simulation of the tower based on that. Here it is in regular, and then here's the zoomed image of what that view would look like. Here it is over, here's the balloon right over that tree line, and here it is zoomed in. This is the view from that residence. And then here is the simulation of the cell tower by the client, both at regular and zoomed in views. This is the sketch plan submitted by the applicant. As you can see, you've got Venable along here and Dogwood coming up the other side there. The proposed site for the location is this rectangle here. I'll not go over the specifics of the guidelines as you've heard them several times this evening. This tower would not be easily visible from adjacent properties or roadways. The proposed site is more than 2 miles away from existing sites, meaning also county-owned sites are more than 2 miles away, and so the requirement to locate on county property is not relevant. The proposed site is not designated as an emergency service location within the wireless telecommunications facilities master plan. Existing vegetation screens the proposed tower and its compound from adjacent parcels and major corridors. The nearest dwelling is approximately 1,000 feet away. A site development plan must be submitted if this request is approved. The comprehensive plan includes recommendations regarding the siting of these facilities to minimize impacts of wireless communications facilities on surrounding areas, encourage the location and co-location of wireless communication equipment on existing structures, accommodate the growing need and demand for wireless communication services, and encourage coordination between communication providers. Cityscape consultants have stated that the proposed tower is in conformance with the wireless telecommunications facilities master plan and is necessary to fill coverage gaps in the area. Cityscape consultants recommended 5 conditions of approval, which were added to the usual conditions for these. In conclusion, the request does appear to be in conformance with the intent of the comprehensive plan and with the wireless telecommunications facilities master plan. The proposed tower will not be easily visible from adjacent properties or roadways. And if approved, staff recommends that the 18 conditions listed in the staff report be imposed. These conditions address different aspects of the tower's design and construction. These are the conditions. I believe it's number 9 is the one that's been in question in the other one. And the conditions continue onto the second page, and there are 18 total, which have been provided to the Planning Commission. And that brings us to the motion, and we open to questions.
Anyone have any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Would the applicant like to say anything this time?
Good evening, once again, Dale Funicu with 5280 Partners. Third and final application this evening. Number 9, as mentioned by staff, this is the one that we'd like to have reworded. Other than that, I think it went through everything. We've showed you the propagation maps and how this one is in the middle of the other two, and all three are very integral to making this network and this plan work that we are proposing this evening. Beyond that, I understand that it's not maybe the master wireless plan, but this particular site is the one that, at least verbally, the former sheriff and the folks at the Technical Review Committee indicated that there was a significant interest in the county in locating both the transmit and receive on this facility, and I think it was going to involve migrating some equipment from the nearby fire station. And again, we've been in contact with them and look forward to working with them as they work through the new RFP and move forward with that plan. And I'll reserve any additional time for comment later. Thank you.
One question. Which one of these sites are y'all going to own?
Okay. This is the one. This is the one that we're purchasing the full property, and we will be taxpaying happy residents of Savannah County. And I hope maybe to come back with a proposed site plan for maybe a little weekend getaway cabin back there by the tower with good cell phone service. Just have to convince my boss of that.
In that regard, Mr. Chairman, I've reminded the Director of Planning that he has neglected to put in the usual condition about providing hunting permits for the county attorney.
We can make that part of the negotiation with the Emergency Management Services.
I can see you right on top of the cell tower. You know.
Would say build a tree stand.
Line there.
You're right. Thank you. She corrected me. I misspoke. It's actually the furthest north, the one in Kent Square. They're all kind of running together. So this is not the middle one. This is the northern site.
Yes, my name is Edward Whalen. I live at 2834 Venable Road, right across the area from where this tower is going, and I just like to say we are in favor of it, as we haven't had cell service in our area for ever. And we would just like to say I've seen the balloon up from our living room window, and it doesn't upset me at all. So just wanted to say we'd like to see it.
Thank you. Anyone else? No one else coming forward? Be time for a commission discussion. Any other questions we have or any comments we have? If we don't have any comments, no, we've got the number 9 thing. If we have a motion for approval, we need to change that language also. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion. I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of SUP 1407, special use permit request to allow the construction of 199-foot monopole telecommunications tower with respect to 16.1 acres of Tax Map 22, Section A, Parcel 90C, subject to the amended conditions as we've discussed with the other ones listed in the staff report.
We have a motion from Mr. Zimmer. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Mr. Gaines, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None opposed? Chair votes aye, 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And off the record, Mr. Wells can access the property for hunting at any time.
We don't have any presentations tonight, no subdivisions. The only unfinished business we have tonight is a comprehensive plan update, and we can go ahead at this time and talk about that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This will be mercifully brief. Very little has changed in the development of the timeline since this was last presented to the Planning Commission. Staff is still working through the various chapters, correcting things as they become apparent. We have received back a lot of the data that we've been waiting on. For example, social services and the library have responded with all of the relevant data. We're still waiting for some word back from the schools and a few other bits and pieces from parts of different emergency services. We have information from the sheriff already, and so we're continuing to gather that updated information. Beyond that, we're in communication with you, as you know, and happy to change things and research things as they come up. So here we'll take a quick look at the timeline, which, as I mentioned, really has not changed terribly much. Basically all of the chapters are in the process of being reviewed at this point, with the first revisions complete on the first 7 to 9 chapters, and the beginning process of those revisions going on the final 3 chapters. I believe the commission has received everything up through 7 at this point. However, there have been additional changes as new information came in. So that puts us where we are now. We'll be doing the implementation guide soon, and very soon we'll be advertising for the public input sessions for September. We have them set for Palmyra and Zion Crossroads. We're open to more if it's deemed necessary, but because of the time schedule and the fact that between these and the earlier ones, we seem to have covered most of the areas, we will happily leave it up to the commission whether there needs to be additional input beyond that. And then obviously in September, once everything else is done, we can begin with updating the introduction and the executive summary and vision, which will be informed by that public input that we had just received. Hurrying, we will get hopefully to present the draft to the Planning Commission in October. Some of that is depending on the difference between 30 and 60 days that it may take for VDOT to respond. We spoke to them and they said that they may take up to 60. That's their prerogative. They may have it back sooner than that to us. So that's just the transportation aspect of the plan. Assuming that all goes well, we'll be able to advertise for the Planning Commission's public hearing, and we can submit our revisions in November, followed by advertising for the Board of Supervisors for their public hearing in December. And of course, that will be the final version that the Planning Commission has approved and recommended, subject to hopefully to approval from the Board of Supervisors, but they may have some issues or something that they would like to see changed or improved. And of course, we can do that at that point. And that is the update for now. I'm open to any comp plan questions and any. Yes.
Have you set those dates for the public hearings in September?
Not as of yet, no.
Okay.
We're going to
looking for myself.
Oh, no, not
find
yet.
Them and I,
when I said we had the location set, I meant we agreed on the locations.
Okay, that's fine.
It's probably going to be closer to the end of the month.
What's that?
It's probably going to be closer to the end of the month at this point.
2 weeks to advertise.
Exactly.
We're not under any legal requirements, but we'd like to give 2 weeks.
One other thing, we were discussing at the work session the economic development, and I had been talking about something as time went on. We kind of discussed it a little bit, but I would like to suggest a goal that we catalog all available empty business properties in the county, plus the Harrod zone. Because if somebody called me up or called up the planning department or the economic development, I want to open a business in the county. Do y'all have any available spaces and in like say 14? Would you know what to tell them? Would anybody know what to tell them?
Were you contemplating properties that are, say, have buildings on them, but they're not occupied?
Right.
Would you also consider undeveloped business property?
I think so.
They may have that, but I was, you know, I couldn't figure out whether, I couldn't really get an answer whether the unoccupied, already built locations were anywhere in the county that anybody would really know.
That's probably a good idea for the economic development people.
And also special use permits. Like I brought that up to Mr. Popkiewicz, that there's a special use permit for a commercial cemetery on property on 600. And he wasn't aware of that. But, you know, that's a very big business.
Sure.
And we don't have a commercial cemetery in our county.
Sure.
So there may be other special use permits that I'm not aware of that are out
that
there
already exist.
That he could capitalize on if he knew them about them.
I think those are both excellent points. Mr. Stewart actually mentioned when we first heard that that was an idea that might work, that some other localities do have that very accessible list like you're discussing. I don't remember which ones you said.
We did at Dinwiddie County.
At Dinwiddie County, for example, they had one. So that's, yeah, it's certainly doable, and there's you know, templates that we can look at.
Does Munis catalog the information for us at all or not?
What's that?
Will Munis catalog any of that information? Do you know? Will it catalog any land? Does it do that at all?
Well, we probably could ask Timmons to.
You can buy a module.
That's
Timmons'
work. We did utilize Timmons to do our database at Dinwiddie. As far as Munis' capabilities, I'm not certain on that.
It was just a suggestion.
It's a good suggestion because
we can certainly work that in. And if you'd like to work on the specific wording of it at the work session, we can do that. Or we could be in communication via email or telephone leading up to the work session, try and hammer that language down.
So would that fit into the comp plan as one of the strategies and economic development?
I would have to look at, see which one of the goals it would go under, and we could discuss where to put it. But yeah, I would believe that would be the best place for it.
I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think like Virginia Workforce or one of those has a database that you can search for properties for all the counties around the area. So we must be giving that information.
The Virginia Economic Development Partnership does keep a lot of.
And do we just provide that to them, or do they collect that themselves?
Either or. It kind of works both ways.
I would think that would be something we would work with the Commissioner of Revenue on for whether a building's occupied at the moment or not, and taking that information, and we could catalog it.
You know, what a lot of places do is they just take the time to do an inventory of commercial structures, working with the Commissioner of Revenue, and then take it from there to see what's occupied and what's vacant. It does take some time, but it can be worth it to at least have an idea of what you have outstanding.
You know, one thing that might end up being helpful is, I don't know whether other members of the Commission have heard this, but I know Mr. O'Brien's heard one of Mr. Nichols' suggestions is my tongue quivers when I use the phrase BPOL fee, not a tax, but a fee, which would allow, make it easier to keep track of where businesses are. And if the fee stops being paid, then it would trigger it would be a signal that the business is no longer in operation.
That was something I was going to bring up.
And it's a useful tool for us to be able to evaluate a business to make sure that the business owner is in compliance with our ordinances up front, rather than catching them after the fact and they've invested money and have done things the wrong way and have to change in midstream.
There's nothing in the comp plan that prevents the people right now anymore.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
That's
a great way to start cataloging the information for sure.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things Mr. Nichols has in mind, right, for doing it.
Yeah. there's certainly a cost to cataloging, so even if it just offsets the cost of cataloging.
That's about what it would do. You're not talking about a big money maker.
Any question? Any more questions, Mr. Lindsay? No more questions?
Thank you.
One more thing, Mr. B. Mr. Lindsay, you'll probably be in contact with y'all in regards to the dates that y'all may be available for the second round of public input in September. So we'll send out an email.
Where would those locations? I see Power Irons on Crossroads.
We haven't nailed down the specific. Paul Meyer would probably be in one of the buildings we have access to. Zion Crossroads, there's a few options. We'll look into and figure out a little better who can accommodate us. But yeah, as Mr. Stewart mentioned, if you have any dates, I'd say in the second half of September that you know you're unavailable, we're happy to block them off and make sure that we don't schedule anything on those.
I think I'm going to be gone after our public hearing meeting in September. I think it's the 25th. That'll be the day I leave, I think.
And there's a chance I'll be in Roanoke for the VASO conference at the end of that week as well.
I don't know. Well, that's the right time to talk about this tonight. But normally in October, they have the conferences that some of us have attended in the past. I just wanted to.
I know there's one around the Columbus Day time frame in Richmond with the Virginia Tech people, the land use.
Yeah. Education.
Yeah.
Extension folks.
I forget the acronym.
It's a plug for the alma mater.
Yeah. Mr. Chandler.
Mr. Chandler. Do we have any other questions or any other unfinished business that we need to take care of? Is there any new business? Thank you. At this time, it's our last public comment section. Anyone wanting to come forward at this time, limited to 3 minutes. Seeing no one coming forward, if no one is an objection, we are adjourned. 8:39.
See
good to see you.
Take care.
I'm back.